The San Antonio Spurs won the draft lottery. More from lottery night, as well as the Raptors' 13th pick here on Hoop Talks. Welcome into Hoop Talks. I'm your host, Karina Mustafa, joined by Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed. I'm here with JUnit, guys. I think this might be, we haven't done this in a while. Like, it's been since, a long like, court time times. You don't look
There's
very excited,
There's a reason
excited,
why
Justin.
We haven't been doing it long. I'm kidding.
So funny. anyway, we're here to talk, if I can speak
You're having real,
today.
You're having
real
trouble talking
today,
aren't you?
But we're here to talk draft
very
and
good.
Lottery
okay, yes,
night.
Yes, nice.
Thank you very
good.
Much.
She got it out. She got it out.
English
nice.
Is hard sometimes. Yeah.
It is.
But the San Antonio Spurs, they won the draft lottery. They got the number one pick. All signs point to Victor Wembanyama as their pick. We saw he was in Paris. He was very excited. Justin, I'll start with... No, actually, no. Jelani,
Whoa,
I'll start with you.
Curveball?
Jelani, I'll start with you. Got to keep you on your toes. What have you made of like the hype surrounding him? And like I know people have said that this is like bigger than like the LeBron hype. So what are your thoughts on that?
I want to pump the brakes on that, right? I know that we've never seen a prospect like Victor, right? Because he is a mixture of Giannis, of Gobert, and of KD. He's them in one, right? So of course you're going to say you've never seen this before, but let's face it. LeBron James was expected to be the GOAT or it's a failure. Yeah. Like you can't compare. And I get it. You've heard people like Jay Billis say if they were in the same draft, you'd probably lean to Victor because it's a newer NBA and a guy like Victor would fit in how the NBA is gone and how it's moved. But again, I say that the hype, it's justified because again, he's so special. The way that he could play, the way he could shoot, he could handle. Remember, the guy's 7'5", he's like 7'4", he could handle the ball. Defense, perimeter, and inside, he could destroy you, right? Mm-hmm. But I will say this though, LeBron James, he's one of a kind, the chosen one, all that sort of thing. It was a whole different thing. And social media wasn't as big. So
exactly.
It was a whole
yeah,
different a whole different deal.
LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16 years old. He was dubbed the chosen one. He had Shaq, Kobe, all these NBA stars coming to his high school game. His high school games were on ESPN, not ESPN2, not the Ocho, ESPN, the main network. They had to move his games to college arenas because they were selling out, right? There will never be a high school phenom like LeBron James ever again. And the fact of the matter is this, right? Unless you're a real basketball junkie like all of us, mainstream people don't really know who Victor Wembanyama is, right?
I mean, people know the name, though.
They know the name, but did they?
But not as much. You know why? It's because he's not American.
People knew LeBron James because LeBron was the American. Even I think Zion. I think you could compare Zion's hype and Victor Wembanyama's hype to be very similar, right?
I agree.
I think that's more of a similar comparison as rather than LeBron James because LeBron.
That's its own entity.
It's its own thing. That will never be seen again. There will never be that much hype and that much expected. I was watching old clips actually last night where LeBron
the Bob
did
Costas
it.
One?
Yeah, the Bob. Where yeah, basically it was like yeah, you don't understand. You have to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, otherwise your career is a
failure. Come on, like what are we talking
okay,
about?
Okay, sure, I understand that, but let's bring the conversation back to Victor Wembanyama himself.
Yes.
I mean, Jelani, you mentioned he's 7'4" and a 7'4" guy who can move.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Justin, is this the start of a new era for the San Antonio Spurs?
Greg Popovich just extended his coaching career, actually. I think Greg Popovich is ready to come back and coach because they now have relevancy once again. Mm-hmm. It's been a few years. It's been a dark time in San Antonio, right? Ever since really the Kawhi trade, they've kind of just fallen into the abyss of the NBA. And now they're back. They're going to get nationally televised games. Let's see what Victor Wembanyama can do on a young team that's got some nice pieces. You know, Keldon Johnson's there. They got some other nice pieces on that squad. Let's see what the Spurs can do. And they have a great track record of first overall picks. David Robinson, Tim Duncan, all 75 guys, two MVPs, champions. So I think the Spurs will give it some time. But look, the Spurs might be all the way back now.
And I want to phrase this like very carefully because like injuries is kind of a tricky topic, but is there some concern for Victor coming into the league? Like there kind of was for Chet where it might be a little bit easier to get injured just based on like body
and
frame.
Chet and got hurt, right? We saw that, but you do see the history with bigs like this, Yao Ming,
Ralph Sampson.
Look at Greg Oden, like you mentioned. There's so many like Bill
Zion.
Walton.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are plenty of names that you've seen over the years. You've seen guys 7 feet and above that do have problems with, you know, knees or ankles, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But this is worth it. It's obviously worth it because, again, he's a prospect we haven't seen before. So you do hope that he will be in the gym. I expect that to happen. I expect him to get bigger. Mm-hmm. He has to, because the NBA, he's going to be playing Giannis. Yep. He's going to be playing these mm-hmm. big guys right inside. So I expect that to happen. Also, I think the Spurs are a good organization. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad he's going there. Yeah. They're going to, you know, groom him and get him right. If he was going somewhere, let's say, like, Charlotte. I don't know, Charlotte or Houston or Houston. I don't know, yeah. Washington or something random. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would really trust that process over there. But with San Antonio, I know what I'm getting with them. And then Greg Popovich, I think he's a coach that will get him in the right spots. Given his size, I think that the whole system will be, you know, made towards him and his strengths, mm-hmm. put towards his strengths. But yeah, I do know the questions are there with the health and that factor.
I think the weight's going to be, like, again, we're talking about weight with a top prospect because we're talking about Zion Williamson again. But look, Zion had to lose weight. Victor's got to add weight, but he's also got to be careful too, because when you add too much weight, that's adding more force, mm-hmm. and you have more force in that body when you're making. He doesn't play. He's not a traditional big. He's not going to play with his back to the basket. We've seen on the highlights. He can take it on the dribble. He can play on the outside. He can obviously move, right? So you want to make sure that he can find that optimal weight where he can bang and crash in the post, but also not hinder his speed and mobility, and also make sure that his knees and joints are not that affected on it, because that's going to be the key. If he can stay healthy and can stay right, then yes, we're going to see a prospect or NBA player we've never seen before. But it's the health, and that to me is such a big factor, because we've never seen a prospect look like this mm-hmm. in NBA history. And I think that, to me, why I think he will be successful. What happened with Zion and what happened with other bigs in the past, I have a slight bit of worry. But I am worried. Can he stay healthy? Can he be right? And that, to me, only time will tell.
Because real quick, like, the guy I look at is actually Ralph Sampson mm-hmm. in Houston back in the day. He's basically what Victor was. Mm-hmm. At the time, they never saw anything like Ralph, and he did have a nice stint in Houston. But with that being said, he did have injury history, given his size, given the way he did play. So it is a question. It's a real question.
Well, I know we've been, like, watching the NBA app promote Wemby's games all year long. We're finally at the point where we're very close to him getting drafted. So I know mm-hmm. he's excited. We're all excited for a better era of the San Antonio Spurs, because mm-hmm. I think we all respect that franchise very, very much. There's a lot of history there. But moving on to the next three picks, the Hornets, the Blazers, and the Rockets, they have it in that order. Scoot Henderson and Brandon Miller are both projected to go 2 and 3. Do you guys think, like, the Hornets and the Blazers, like, stick with that, or are they going to go off the board?
I think the Hornets go with Scoot. I think LaMelo Ball and Scoot Henderson backcourt might be very interesting, right? These guys are two guards that can, you know, LaMelo, we know, is one of the best passers in the game. His basketball IQ is, you know, through the roof. He's flashy. And I think Scoot said himself, he's the most NBA-ready prospect. And I think that, mm-hmm. right? When you look at him, he looks like an NBA player already, right? We don't have the concerns about, does he need to put on weight? Does he need to, you know, get bigger? Does he need to get strong? He obviously will. But right now, I think he could roll into the NBA and play, mm-hmm. right? Can he be a 20-point guy? I don't know about that, but can he be an efficient NBA starter as a rookie? I think so, right? So I think the Hornets, who need all the help they can get, right, I think they go get Scoot. And it's going to be interesting. The Blazers, to me, are the interesting, because I think had they gotten the number one pick, they would have kept it. But now I think, could they trade off that pick? Ooh. Because, you know, the Blazers GM did say, we are building around Damian Lillard and we want to win, mm-hmm. right? Will some team offer, like the Toronto Raptors?
You don't have to whisper it. I think it's a possibility.
You know, maybe they trade, trade Pascal Siakam or trade somebody to get that third overall pick. Could that be something that, you know, Masai and Bobby look at?
I love how carefully he's treading here.
I'm not treading.
What kind of reaction am I going to get from?
I'm saying, look, that's
it's real. It's
that's
real prospect. The
Blazers are the biggest thing. What offers will they get for that third overall pick? And what can they maximize Dame's title?
Because there will be good offers.
Because I don't think Brandon Miller is going to come in and help them win a title.
I don't think so.
Right away, right? Like, so I think they're going to try to trade that pick more so than, you know, select a player.
And yeah, honestly, you never know, because Brandon Miller, what if he gets drafted by the Hornets? What if the Hornets see it as a situation where we don't want to have another guard take away from Ball? It's a mm-hmm. real possibility. So they might get a guy like Brandon Miller, who is a wing, who can score. They do need that in Charlotte. And then would the Blazers be like, let's move forward with a guy like Scoot, move off of Dame, because we understand, yes, he's loyal and things of that nature, but, you know, he might want to win somewhere else. It's something that's going to be very interesting. But like Justin said, I do see a case where a team might go and look at that third overall selection and be like, you know what, Blazers, let's talk. And as a supporter of the Toronto Raptors,
Speaking of the Raptors, they did get the 13th pick. Mm-hmm. I know it was a bit like, if they hadn't been called 13 or 14th, they would have like shot straight up to top four. So a bit of bad luck there. Okay, don't look at me.
They
like
had
that.
A 1% chance.
Don't look at me like that, because I'm about to hype you up.
Just
speaking
not
of prospects,
bad luck. It's just the odds.
I know. I'm okay. Speaking of prospects that could go at 13, we have a clip here of a Mr. Justin Pooney putting shots up. Just wait. Look at this. Raptors, if you're watching this.
Called bank.
Wow.
Look at that.
Look at the form.
And watch this. He's going to make another one.
He's I'm feeling not gonna nice, play the
In Air Force Ones, too.
He's feeling
Think about
nice.
That.
Look at the backwards
Got
hat.
Got the Kawhi feeling bounce nice. There a little bit.
Yeah, I'm wearing the Kawhi hoodie, too.
So, okay, jokes aside.
So I could tell it wasn't windy.
It was very windy.
Oh, it was. Okay.
I was hitting the weight room.
So you're a real shooter.
I was in the weight room, man.
Okay.
I was in the weight room.
My bad.
Okay, but for real, Justin. Okay, we'll go to you first, okay? What does this pick mean for the Raptors? What do you think they do?
Well, my draft eligibility has passed. I don't think I'm eligible for the NBA draft anymore. Look, the Toronto Raptors, the 13th overall pick, I could list off these three guys that I think could be very good fits that played and played in college ball, but we know the Raptors aren't going to pick that. They're going to pick some guy we've never heard of before that is a project.
I hope not, man.
2 years Honestly. From being 2 years away, mm-hmm. right? So, look, do I think Carson Walsh from Kentucky, a point guard, you know, a guy could shoot the three ball, might be a very good selection for the Toronto Raptors? Yes. Do I think Bryce Sensabaugh from Ohio State, a wing, could help? Yes. But, like, they're not going to go that route, though. They're not going to go.
I really hope not, man.
They're going to pick some random guys.
If you were in charge, Jelani, what would you do? Like, what should the Raptors be targeting?
Well, definitely something that we've been talking about all year on this show, shooting, playmaking. If you could find a way to get some of that in your door, thank you, please, because it was a struggle this season for the Toronto Raptors, right? And also the guard spot, I'm looking at that specifically. There's plenty of shooting guards mm-hmm. that the Raptors can target here. I would really want a guy like Grady Dick out of Kansas. The problem with him is he's going top 10, so that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Cam Whitmore, Nova, really good prospect, top but again, 10. Top 10. It might be higher than that, mm-hmm. like approaching like top 6, 7. So that's going to be out of the window. But here you're looking at a few names. Jordan Hawkins, we saw what he did at UConn. Mm-hmm. Very reliable score for the Huskies, the championship Huskies. You're looking at George out of Baylor, Keontae George. He's somebody who is one of the top 5 two guards in this draft. He is a scorer. He is athletic.
He's not efficient, though.
Not efficient. That I was about to bring that up. So that is a question. Even with Nick Smith Jr. from Arkansas, there are questions there with how he will perform on the next level offensively. But we do see the talent there, right? And then a last name, I'd probably say, like Justin pointed out, Wallace out of Kentucky. He could be a guy on the defensive side that could really help you out at that guard spot. So we'll see. And he kind of fits the Raptors with how the defense is so important here, but there are plenty of names.
And one last name to watch out for is Jet Howard from Michigan, Juwan Howard's son. The way he plays, kind of could be a Gary Trent Jr. replacement if Gary Trent does indeed walk. So
Justin, be more confident. You're like whispering today. Like, just
okay, look, Jet
Howard.
Because I don't know. I'm not confident any of the Raptors are going to do in the draft. The one thing I'm confident about is we don't know what the Raptors are going
to
do in the draft, because next thing you know, they could be picking some guy that's like Bruno Caboclo, who's four years away and he never actually showed up.
The next KD, the Brazilian KD.
Yeah, the Brazilian KD, right? For all we know, that's who the Raptors could pick. So, look, the Raptors, other than Scottie Barnes, haven't had a really good draft record in the last little while. So, they got to shore that up, because this team, that's the problem. When you fall in the mid-lottery like that, right? Or the lower end of the lottery.
You know what I wanted to do, right? Tank. Get something higher.
Well, I was said at the beginning of the year, ship for Scoot. right?
Yeah, I wish. But what I would say is this: a lot of 13th overall picks have worked in the past.
That's
okay,
true.
Booker,
so you
Kobe,
never know.
Who was the other one? Booker, Kobe, and I think it was Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, so you never know.
Okay, but let's pump the brakes. That's
back
three,
half of the lottery is
three,
still possible.
That's three picks, and how many NBA drafts have there been?
Hey, man. There's a chance. There's always a chance.
Oh, God. No.
Do you think they would be involved in any sort of trade activity?
I would be. I'd look and see what you can get. Right? Do you try to acquire another first round pick? Do you package that 13th overall pick and a player to move up in the lottery to Portland Trail Blazers? Pascal Siakam, 13th overall pick for the third overall selection.
You get back Simons.
I'm just sitting.
The pick.
Because
they would maybe want OG. They would want OG or Pascal. You probably
have
to give them something else.
How about this trade? But Pascal, OG, 13th overall pick to Portland for the third overall selection. Anthony Simons.
Yeah, you have to put Simons.
Shaden Sharp. And
that would be it.
To make the money work, you might have to throw another sweetener. But hey, I'm
Nazir Little or something
Like
that.
Yeah, Naz Little. There you go.
Okay.
Raptors get younger. They get more talent. They get more explosive, right?
You never know, and
hey, they could have a much younger core to build around Scottie Barnes. With what I'm saying, then I could get behind that.
Okay, yep. We'll see if that actually happens. Like you said, we don't know what the Raptors will end up doing on draft night, but you know, it's an exciting time. Yeah. I think especially if you're a Spurs fan. So we'll definitely have more on NBA and draft as the draft rolls around next month. This has been Hoop Talks.
Who's the best dunker, the best passer, the best dressed, and the best friend in the WNBA and the NBA? We talk about it today on In the Zone by Hoop Talks. Come in, come all. I'm Noor Zainab, Karina Mustafa right here with me, and this is called In the Zone. You know what that's about. We're all about the fun stuff here. So today we're going to combine the NBA and the WNBA. I'm going to shoot some categories, some fun questions that Karina, she has to answer in like a limited number of times so she can have the best, most organic answer straight from your head top. And we're going to mix both leagues, so you're going to have the best time with this. We'll talk about the best dunker, the best passes, things like that. So right off the bat, Karina, who is the best dunker in your opinion?
See, I could sift through like all the dunkers ever, but I have to go with my gut here, and it's LeBron James. I just think that, like, and I know Justin's gonna love it if he watches this, but he's just so strong. He's had so many of these like really strong dunks at the rim, like the one you just saw over the last how many years of his career, and he's still dunking like that to a certain degree. And so I just think he's one of the best dunkers in the NBA.
For like the past 20 years, that's all you've seen LeBron do, since high school to the NBA to now at 38 years old, just dunking. And actually, he could also fit the next category, which is best passer. But who you got?
I don't have LeBron in best passer. Sorry, guys. But I do have a Miss Chelsea Gray. Mm-hmm. She was last year's finals MVP for the Las Vegas Aces. She's went on one of the most historic runs. Not only can she score from it, look at that pass.
Dude,
a behind the back inbounds pass. Like, that is insane. She can see the floor so well, and she'll just pull off these passes that you can't even defend.
Yeah.
Like, how are you even prepped for that?
I've said it all along. I think she needs to teach the NBA point guards on how to pass. Like, I've actually said I want Fred VanVleet to get trained and groomed by Chelsea Gray so he understands the right passes to make. Because even, like, when I've watched her play for the Aces, how do you think of that? How do you pass it? How is it never interrupted? And how is it always in the hands of that person that you intended for?
And those are the things that you could, like, practice, like, in practice.
Yeah.
But, like, it's to do it in a real live game. Like, that takes another level of guts and intelligence.
I am so happy you chose her. I love my good passer. I love a good point guard. And I think Chelsea's the best point guard out there. Male, female, all put together, it's Chelsea Gray. But the next one's going to be the best leader. Who you got for best leader?
I had fun with this one. I chose Jimmy Butler because I just think that the narrative around him for so long has been that he's the bad guy and he's the cancer in the locker rooms. We saw it with like the different teams that he was on. Whereas like now in Miami, he's been able to thrive. And I think he's fit that Heat culture and has developed into a leader of this team. And now we're seeing that they've been successful. And why? Because they have somebody who has that ambition, who has that hunger, who wants to win. And we're seeing it translate to a well-developed squad.
And it shows you that it wasn't him. As much as those teams wanted to put the blame on him and the Wolves and Philly, it made it seem like, oh, he's just this locker room cancer guy who's very aggressive and he can't really get a hold of a team. But you put him in Miami, look at what he's doing with that team. They were in the play-in race, Karina, and now they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And that's, let's face it, a big part, at least half a part, at least a chunk of it, mm-hmm. goes to Jimmy Butler.
Absolutely. It's a testament to his leadership and how he's been able to lead this Miami Heat squad, who's losing players like Tyler Hero. You lose him for the playoffs, and so like, but they're still able to upset all these teams, upset the Bucks. Like, they made it here, and I think it's because of him.
A team with Butler, Lowry, and Kevin Love for leadership. I mean, how can you really go wrong? But we also know, we talked about Jimmy Butler before this episode too, about how he's one of the best stressed in the mm-hmm. NBA for us. But now let's put together WNBA and NBA.
Yeah.
Who's the best stressed with the whole roster there?
I know like half of my picks today will probably include Jimmy Butler, but I had to go like off the board for this one and go with Dee Dee Richards. She just got waived by the New York Liberty, but I think she's one of the most fashionable players in the league. And in basketball, the fits that she pulls off are just incredible. And like, she wears, like we talked about kind of last week on The Zone, she wears the confidence that comes with the fit. And to me, like, I love seeing like the women dress up too, because I feel like they're so creative in how they like look at her. She's like flawless.
Gorgeous.
Her style is really good. I always look forward to seeing her like game day outfits. I love the way she poses for the pictures. And so, yeah, I chose her to be my most fashionable.
You can't go wrong. I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit ignorant to it. When I searched up her images and everything, I was like, damn. She's got a good stylist, or she knows exactly what she's doing. So good for her. Mm-hmm. And let's stay on the trend of dresses, but let's stick to best jersey. Who's the best jersey you'd want to rock?
I know you and I are like very like-minded on this one, but I chose the Phoenix Suns, their Valley jerseys. I just, when I think of the best jersey, I think of that one. I love the way the colors kind of mesh together against the black. To me, it's a very calming, very natural look that perfectly encapsulates like the Valley.
Yeah, I think black is just a very easy color to go with. And when you do black right, as the Suns have done, Breeze, I think we talked about it last time too. It's supposed to be one of our favorite jerseys for the past, what, 2-3 years now. Mm-hmm. And there could be teams coming up and taking over, but I think the Suns really figured out the right, as you said, the right experiment ingredients of like having neutral tones, but also having fun stuff and making it like pop a little bit, but also
yeah, they're
not
bold
too much.
In a good way.
Exactly, absolutely. All right, so talked about everything. What's your favorite soundbite? We can talk about it in the past year, whatever, but I think let's go back to the past year to make it easier on you.
Yeah, I think there's so many good sound bites, like when players get mic'd up.
Yeah.
And I think that like from these play, I know it's we're recently in the playoffs now, so that's kind of the first thing that popped in my mind, but it was like Jimmy Butler again, just like yelling, "I own you," to Jrue Holiday during the the Heat Bucks series. And like, it was so funny because they were super cool about it after. They dapped each other up, like they were friends, they were buddies. They understand that trash talk is like on the court, and that's part of what I really love. That he can go out there and be like, look at Jrue Holiday in his face, be like, "I own you," and then after the game, be like, "Oh, you're my buddy." Like, I love that. It's so funny to watch. Like, Jimmy Butler is an entertainer. He loves to put on a show, and I love like. He's been like, I could have chosen like 10 different moments of Jimmy Butler trash talking throughout the playoffs alone, but this was definitely my favorite.
I feel like he almost gets himself going. Like, he needs to trash talk to motivate himself. He's like, no one else is gonna do it, so I need to do it for me.
Oh yeah.
And you're so right. Like, I love the fact that people can do that when they're on the court. They're able to trash talk, but they understand that it's just on the court. It's just in that moment. But it's not just them, it's the people around them too, like the other teammates who the trash talk is directed at are like, okay, I get it, tempers are flying, but this is when we're off the court, it's everything's
exactly.
good.
Like, yeah. You don't need to fight. Like, they didn't need to break out into a fight or anything like that. It's just some fun, lighthearted trash talk, which
well,
I think
is
good.
Jimmy Butler has hit like a bunch of your topics already, but is he also your favorite personality?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I can't just be listed. This is going to become the Jimmy Butler show. But my favorite personality, and like, this is somebody that maybe a lot of people might not know. Her name is Rashonda Gray. She's a WNBA player. She's currently not, she just got waived by the Sparks. But my experience with her has been with the New York Liberty. She was on the New York Liberty for a little bit. And in every media presser that she did with us, even a lot of them were after losses as well, because remind like I was covering the Liberty when they weren't the super team that they are now. She was always having such a nice energy. She was laughing with us, even especially after losses. She was in such good spirits. She made it very easy to speak with her and do media after like losses that usually players like they get really frustrated about. And I think that just speaks a lot about her personality and the way that she approaches people with grace. I think it's made her a very likable player in the league. And I know that I will support her wherever she goes. So yeah, I chose her as best personality because I think it needs some more love to players like that who just make your life a little bit easier in difficult times and are nice to people no matter what, because you never know what other someone else is going through.
No, for sure. It's so hard to come by, especially like, you know, given her circumstances, her situation. She had no idea where she was going to be going to, but she always just knew how to treat other people around her with the respect that she wanted in return. And for people like that, there's always a space in Toronto. And as we know, the NBA needs to expand because people like her end up being set aside.
I love her in my locker room.
Right,
I love
exactly.
Her
but that shows you just how much talent there is out there. And that's the reason why they need to expand that moving forward. But hopefully one day, and hopefully in Toronto, and hopefully in our locker room. So we can hope for that. But moving on, you said best personality is Rashonda Gray, but who is the best friend in the NBA and the W?
See, I actually had to think about this for a little bit, because like I feel like there are a lot of people who are actually like pretty good friends, and I could probably put out a decent list, but I gotta go with my guy Kyle Lowry, because I was just thinking about the way that he was buddies with Jimmy Butler now in the Miami Heat. Like, look at them. They look like they're like two little kids in elementary school.
Them.
You know, when like you sat next to your best friend in class and your teacher would have to like separate you because you're chatterbox. Like, that is his energy. Like, him
it's
with
so
DeMar
true.
DeRozan too as well. I feel like he's so good at making these friendships, and he's a guy that you are on your team. Like, even Jimmy has said before, like, why have you guys been doing so well? Oh, because we got Kyle on our team.
Yeah, it's the gelling. It's the positivity, and it's also just the personality around you. And we've seen Kyle for how long? Like 8, 9 years, right? And we've seen exactly how he's meshed with the locker room. Not even just meshed with them, but led them. The vibes with Kyle Lowry as the leader of this team, even after Kawhi Leonard had left, were insane. Like, you had no idea what's going to be coming next. But that's when the whole thing started, where they would have their intros and Lowry's dapping everybody up and he's doing his poses and having fun. And we used to be that fun team. And it's because of a personality like Kyle Lowry. And as you said, when you're someone like that, you have best friends all around the NBA. He was always talking and dapping everybody up and having post games and everything. But it could even lead us into the best bromance.
So see, I could have been like, oh, the best bromance is like Jimmy and Kyle, but no.
There's actually a new one for me?
There's a different bromance that I actually came to really love this season, which was Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks. They played together in college, and so this was the reaction when Jalen Brunson found out that Josh Hart was going to be on the Knicks. And that, to me, their relationship is so wholesome. They always do post-game pressers together. Josh Hart is always eating something.
There's pizza last time.
Pizza, wings, and then Jalen Brunson would look over at him like, you're such a goof. And I love their bromance together. I think they're a great pair, and I'm excited that New York has got to like have them as bros on their team.
I think they're a budding pair together too. Like, obviously that friendship means a lot, and we've seen in our own history too that if you have a friendship with two players, like, that really bodes well for your on-court chemistry as well. So seeing that, I think Knicks fans should be super happy, and I'm just glad, like, getting to see, like, I know we get to enjoy players on the court and get to see them play and we have the stats and the numbers, everything around it, but it's fun to see them as humans sometime and see that, okay, they have friends, they have a fun side, they can joke around. And I love, like, even being here talking to you about this stuff, because it goes beyond just the sport, and we get to really humanize these guys. Speaking of humanizing, we used to have great benches that would humanize our team. So who's your favorite bench mob?
Well, you can't say the word bench mob without saying the Raptors' old bench mob, the Norman Powell, when freaking Fred Van Vliet was on it. Like, the vibes, DeLon Wright. That year, I don't know if you remember when they all kind of sat together, even like the Jakob Poeltl, who I guess we have back now, but when they all like sat together with like Serge, they did like an episode. I don't know if you remember. It was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was, they were kind of like reminiscing about how they're like older now and like we don't have that anymore. And that was just, to me, A, like showing how the Raptors develop their players, like now that they're all like the stars and then the starters of the teams that they're on. To me, it's like very bittersweet to look back on it, because it's like, damn, like I love that group when they were together. I know we weren't like doing much with that bench mob, but to me it was like really special to see like those relationships forming.
Those were our regular season merchant days. You know, we would just sit the starters. We're like, okay, you know what? Third quarter is over. Fourth quarter, it's all the bench mob. And they would come in and they, if anything, they would produce more offensively than these starters did. And now we're at literally. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, I'll take one guy off the bench from that 2018 bench mob just to give us something, you know, coming off of there. But I miss that. And you're right. Like, when you think bench mob, you really think the Raptors. I know people would say Spurs or whoever else, but for us, it really is the Raptors because we were like, because now when you're here and you have nothing, you realize what that really meant for you.
Yeah. And and hopefully they can like get back to that so that we can get back to having like a good supporting cast where the next thing we need is just like one or two more pieces and then we're back into contention. That's what we need to do.
Well, we're going to be seeing all of that this summer. The Raptors are set to make hopefully a bunch of moves because they do have some contracts expiring. They also have to bring in a new head coach. Not sure if we'll be seeing a different team, but we will for sure be seeing a new head coach because we are required in that position. I'm Noor Zainab. This is Karina Mustafa. This has been In the Zone. We'll be back again next week with all the fun around the NBA and no stats. See you guys next time.